I will tell you one statistic. December 2022, BMW and Mercedes both had their record sales in India, right? iPhone is now increasing in penetration. So what explosion happened in China between 2008, 9, actually, who knows, maybe 6, 7 till about 18, like that whole period, luxury took off, bunch of these things, everything is taking off. Here's the unique thing about India, it's digital first. So digitization of GDP is helping us leapfrog. So it's just, you and I can debate the math, but to me, just digital companies alone should generate 1.5 to 2.5 trillion of value, hence infinity. Yeah. There should be like, that to me is close to infinity.
Happy New Year and best of luck to everyone for 2023. In continuing with the spirit of our episodes on founders, Avnish, we've done two experienced founders and founder market fit. Today, I thought it would be interesting to talk about a new term that we've been talking about, which is infinity entrepreneurs. Founders, effectively, who can scale infinitely. So let's get to it. What's the trigger for this topic and why has it come up internally?
No, so it's just very exciting time. So first of all, Happy New Year to everybody. And I noticed you wished everybody luck. So it sounds like that's going to be some of the theme. Look, we just had Five Star go public 2 months ago. Over the last 2 years, even though it's been very difficult and choppy, a bunch of digital companies have gone public. That's the ultimate goal of starting up a company, in my view, and venture capital, right? So the ultimate, the panacea, the ultimate goal is here. And hence, with deepening markets, seeing IPOs, generally we have spoken about 0 to 1, 3 phases of a company, 0 to 1, early PMF, product market fit, 1 to 10, scaling product market fit. Typically we say 10 to 100. And I was just thinking, why 100? Right? Some of the, we'll talk about in the context of infinity entrepreneurs, they have unlimited ambition, right? Hence the term infinity. With IPOs, there's no cap on value creation. If you are selling your company in an M&A, you have capped your value creation. So there's no cap on value creation. So I know you are old enough to remember this movie Toy Story where the character said to infinity and beyond. And that's the thought. So I think infinity entrepreneurs are the ones who can transcend all these stages and take the companies to that level.
No, that's very exciting. And maybe a little bit on, you know, how this is more relevant in India, because, you know, we've seen these infinity entrepreneur stories in other markets.
Yeah.
But why is this a really exciting time to be talking about this in digital India?
And you know, in fact, honestly, this hit me about a month or two ago. You and I were working on some decks and we were doing GDP projections in 2021 and how the world changed in 22, right? And we thought India would become third largest by 2030. Then we crossed UK. Then you look at the size of Japan and Germany, which are above us. And then today we say 2028, but actually economists are saying 2026 to 2027. So that sounds interesting, that's relative. But if you look at the absolute, our current GDP is?
Three and a half trillion.
How much are we adding nominally every year?
13-14%.
Correct. Yeah. So if you do that math, we'll have add 3.5 trillion somewhere between 5 and 7 years. If you get lucky and hit a year of 9-10% growth, which I think a lot of the drivers are in place. Can you imagine? In 5, maybe 6, 7 years, we will add the same amount of economic output that we have done in our first 75 years of existence. I don't think we ourselves understand what will happen. And I will tell you one statistic. December 2022, BMW and Mercedes both had their record sales in India, right? iPhone is now increasing in penetration. So what explosion happened in China between 2008, 9, actually, who knows, maybe 6, 7 till about 18, like that whole period, luxury took off, bunch of these things, everything is taking off. Here's the unique thing about India, it's digital first. So digitization of GDP is helping us leapfrog. So it's just, you and I can debate the math, but to me, just digital companies alone should generate 1.5 to 2.5 trillion of value, hence infinity. Yeah. There should be like, that to me is close to infinity.
Yeah, no, and I think we've spoken about the founder evolution as well in this market.
Yeah.
First generation, like let's call it, well, let's not think about 20 years ago, but let's say 10 years ago, yeah. 15 years ago, it was largely first time founders in their 20s. Then it kind of moved to experienced founders. Now infinity, what's changed with the founder? Yeah.
You know, just coming back to this overall digital nation building piece for a minute, by the way. You know, we will talk about in various episodes, including valuations, what's happening currently. Last year was a very difficult year globally. I think, and they talk about always having, counting your blessings and having gratitude. I think we all should just take a step back. And we are so blessed to be living in these times, in the kind of businesses we are doing, in digital, in India. I would pay to have this job. Don't tell the investors that. I would actually pay. And I think I would actually potentially also pay to be a founder. I just can't, right? So I just think it's fantastic, fantastic times. In terms of what it takes, I mean, what is your view on, like you said, archetype seems to have changed. But when you think of 0 to 1, 1 to 10, that'll be the crux of it. But what have you seen?
No, so what's really encouraging is, I used to think about it as first phase is, product market fit. Next phase is scalable product market yeah. fit. Then the third phase is scalable, profitable product market fit. And that profitable product market fit unlocks a different ambition within founders and companies. And with the number of companies that are now figuring out the business model towards either a path to profitability or many of them in our own portfolio getting to that
already profitable,
The ambition has just unlocked to the next level.
Yeah, yeah.
And seeing those founders and their ambition unlocked to the next level, the next set of founders are then inspired to create even larger companies.
I mean, the first set were inspired by the Sachin Bini, the Bhavishes, the Kunal Bells of the world, which brought in the Dipinder, I guess, also of that gen. Then Harsha, a bunch of these, right? So you're right. And I think the good news is what we do hear from a bunch of these guys is they are aspiring to create publicly listed companies, right? But if you were to try, now there is no science to this, but if one were to say, and we have discussed this in, I think in the Ashish episode, that what are the traits that change, right? So 0 to 1, easy, ideally in domain, you hustle, you have a founder market fit. So whether you are obsessed with that problem or you're working in domain, you tend to have speed and hustle, right? And basically resourcefulness. I think the one you have found some, and I think the best way to think about this is to, a business is built around customers. So track your journey with the customer. So 0 to 1, you found some customers. 1 to 10, you have to delight them and not satisfy them. You have to delight them. Then this, you start scaling with those customers. So I think, and we've seen this with people like Amazon, even Apple. Also, I think you start, so I would say customer delight starts getting layered in. I also think velocity becomes more important than speed, where you're more directed and you are clearer about what you're doing, and absolutely you need to see team building. But coming to infinity, I would say number one, what I have observed, strategic clarity. And these people are just, and we can unpack a little bit of it. There's vision, mission that people talk about, but you don't wake up every morning executing to a vision or a mission. You wake up every morning executing to a strategy. And so I think I was watching one, there's this founders podcast, right? And he talks about all the biggest founders in the world, starting with JP Morgan, by the way, and Rockefeller, like he goes way back. And it is about strategic clarity, just clarity of thought. And strategic clarity. And we'll talk about how some of these can potentially be developed because somebody may just say, okay, I don't have it or I have it, right? So I think that's key. Org scaling starts happening, right? You cannot scale a business if there's no institutional memory left in the business, right? So you make some, you take some steps, some work, some don't, but people keep learning. So I think that is very critical, excuse me. Sorry. In our org 3.0, we have discussed how first version has doers, second version has doers with thinkers, and third version as thinkers who manage doers. So I think org scaling comes in for infinity entrepreneurs. I think customer delight graduates to customer obsession. And I think these are different things. Delight, you show up in the office, you listen to a few, you know, customer calls maybe even, and you're happy if customers are happy. Obsession, you can't sleep, right? And I think what happens with obsession is, so it's a much higher bar. And what you end up finding, and we have discussed this in the context of competition versus customer, where should you focus? If you're obsessed about your customer, your competition will never get to them. Because, and you'll potentially surround them with other goods and services and you know, find a way to grow the business. But very importantly, capital efficiency in the public markets. I can't tell you when we talk to public market investors how differently they think. It's all about return on equity, return on capital employed. By the way, they may invest in loss-making businesses, but within that, which is what we call unit economics, they are looking for proof points to say what is the long term, because they have to underwrite that. Public markets may go through bubbles and busts, but these managers have to mark to market every year, every quarter actually, or maybe in some cases every month. So they are much more focused on that. You know how you know, the first principles of stock prices is it's a present value of future cash flows. So interest rates, capital efficiency, all of that becomes important. Two other softer points. I think the infinity entrepreneurs in the ones I have dealt with, and even though I would love to have a relationship where I hear bad news first, it rarely happens because they are super forecasters. We have that book that we talk about. They know their domain, they know their customer, they know all other external factors such that they are not getting negative surprises. And by the way, infinity entrepreneurs in our portfolio, I'll call out, for example, other than OneCard, which is obvious, Ola Electric, but even Liqui Loans with Gautam and Achal, they have been through so many bust cycles in financial services. But almost every time they anticipated it, including COVID. And how do you actually take measures during that period, have your deeper balance sheet or whatever, such that you can, such that you don't. So I would say just knowing, obsessed with unknowns, looking around corners, complete control of destiny, complete control of their own destiny, fully resourceful, will never come asking for a bridge round, will never come asking for a handout bailout, just fully control of the destiny. Finally, what you said, unbounded ambition, in a positive sense. They're just never satisfied. And we have discussed this before. Let's not hold our new digital entrepreneurs, or what we call industrialists now, to a lower bar than what has excited us in the past. I mean, the Tatas, the Billas, the Ambanis, the Adanis, they are industrialists across industries. I think amongst the ones we work with in our portfolio and in the industry, there are a bunch of these. So yeah. Again, just very exciting. Any other reflections or thoughts?
No, I think if I connect two things you said, super forecasting and strategic clarity, the one thing that I have really enjoyed about some entrepreneurs that we work with is just planning. So there's actually a very strong planning DNA, and there is scenarios that they think through. To the point where, like, for example, is 2023 going to be a blockbuster year, or is it going to be a really bad year? Most people today expect it to be, let's call it an average year,
yeah.
Right? But what if it turns out to be different?
Yeah.
And the best entrepreneurs actually have a plan for different scenarios.
Yeah.
And it'll actually show up in the financial plan, it'll show up in their, you know, org plan, and the conversations you have, you know, if this happens, then I will likely do this. Those are the kinds of conversations which one tends to have with these kinds of entrepreneurs, which is truly different.
And you know, I'll put it in another framework, but there are like so many, and like even Five Star just went public, you know, kudos to Pathy. He's also seen so many cycles, regulations keep changing, Razorpay, there are so many. And we don't have to have the conversation, Mosaic Wellness, Park Plus, like so many. We don't have to have the conversation of saying, hey, focus on this now, because this has changed. They are actually recognizing this. So the nature of the conversation ends up being very different.
So I guess we've called out, you know, 7-8 traits, and that's a lot. So, are all these traits truly required in your view? Would two or three of these do? Which ones do you think are more helpful?
Yeah, so look, it's, some of these are obvious, right? Without clarity, your org will be all over the place. Without org, they, what can you do? Without, now, customer obsession is interesting. I actually believe customer delight gets you retention. Customer obsession gets you growth, right? The whole land and expand and stuff like that. So I actually think that can differentiate people. Capital efficiency, we have discussed. But let me ask you this ambition, you know. So I don't want to say all are required, but it sounds like. But tell me, how many $5 billion plus listed companies are there in India?
Listed? Listed would be three?
No. There's many more.
Oh, you're saying, I was thinking digital. Oh, I was saying digital. Listed total will be many more. There'll be probably like 40, 50.
It's about 100. Over a 75-year history, right?
Yeah.
So the point is, it's not easy. And if we are saying infinity entrepreneurs, and they have to scale 5 billion plus, let's call that the definition, that they scale their companies to that level plus, I actually believe there'll be, I don't know, what's your guess, in the next 5 years, 30, 40, 50?
Oh, easy.
Actually, 20 are now, right?
So that's private and public.
Yeah.
Public is probably three
so
or
maybe
four.
Maybe 40, 50 more. Yeah. So I do think the bar is very high because that would increase the universe of publicly listed $5 billion plus companies across India by 40, 50%.
Yeah, that's
so
massive.
The bar is very high.
It's massive, yeah. Conversely, I was thinking we didn't talk about culture.
Yeah.
And everyone, you know, there's the famous whatever culture eats strategy for lunch or breakfast, and it's key to scaling an org, but we didn't really talk about it. I'm surprised.
I'm a bit confused on this because if I look at some of the, and I can't name those companies, and I'm not talking about Indian companies, if I look at globally, in the bull markets, all their culture seemed great. But when the tide turns, you hear, you know, New York Times articles come out about the culture in a bunch of these companies. So I don't know. I feel that these traits we spoke about, let's take customer obsession. Maybe that becomes the culture. And at Amazon, maybe there wasn't a focus on culture creation, but customer obsession is their culture, right? You and I were discussing about Apple. Also, do these things have to be measured over a very long period of time or a short period of time, right? Tesla is obviously clearly innovation and breakthrough speed and scale. So the reality is there are many examples of infinity entrepreneurs and of infinity companies which have over some measurable period of time not demonstrated great cultures. Personally, I think it's very important, but we have to look at data also. I don't know what do you think.
No, I think to be very honest, I think culture is a very tricky topic to discuss. And over the last like 5-10 years, one can argue that there is a culture of entitlement also in the startup industry, with, you know, startup industry, you know, companies ending up like doubling pay versus traditional.
But it was,
you know,
created.
Sectors.
It was created by the companies. I mean, some of the freebies that used to be considered great today are being panned.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm not entirely sure. Like, most people say culture, and then automatically, you know, you think of foosball tables and, you know, whatever, you know, PlayStations. I'm not sure entirely like what exactly good culture is. But
we have a token,
I think,
culture here, right? We have a small ping pong table.
There used to be some people who would play, we were talking about this, but like Apple hasn't launched a new product in five, 7 years.
That's very big.
Somewhere, you know, culture does get defined by founders
guess,
and the founding team.
I guess that's
team.
A good one to double click into. So Steve Jobs came back 96, 97, let's say, took about 2 years to settle in. And then he kind of became ill 2009 plus. In those 10 years, how many products came out? iPod, iMac, AirPod, iPad.
I mean,
new
iPhone
Macs,
iPhone,
like iPhone, of course.
Six.
iPhone, of course. You're right. There's no big
breakthrough product.
I think the only thing they have done, which again, it's interesting because maybe it's the CEO's personality that reflects in the culture. what Apple has done the best, and I'm you all of us who have switched to the Apple laptops with their own chip, that's a non-incremental shift. Now they're going to make their own LCD screen. So I guess the question is how much of a personality? No, I know. How is the personality of the leader tied into the culture and what it values, and therefore what do you see coming out?
Yeah, so I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, one can argue that it matters.
Yeah.
In closing, I was thinking, you know, we've talked about founders, VCs invest in founders, and for, you know, founders, we've kind of drilled deeper. How should one think about Infinity VCs? Because we are also part of this ecosystem.
Yeah. And you know, the last 4 or 5 years, what's dawned on me, and I used to joke with the founders I work with, that every time we are telling them something, like I often look back and I say, why doesn't it apply to us? And I do think it does apply to us. So I think there is a concept of Infinity VCs. Ultimately, to be in business with Infinity founders, if you're lucky, an Infinity founder will take you if you're not an Infinity VC, but I think you have to be an Infinity VC. So let's just talk about, I think this will be useful maybe for people who are looking at venture capital as an industry. The frameworks we have borrowed and we use. Internally, we say thesis, evaluation, network, you know, winning, which in this new world, and which is where I think an Infinity VC really counts, is very critical, winning the deal. Does the founder want to work with you? And then value creation and exit. Importantly, this external framework, which we borrowed from Mark Suster, which is personal brand, network and pull. So if you look at, if we were to map the same three stages of a company and a founder with the three stages of a VC, I think it's very similar. 0 to 1, you find your first few customers, you find some product market fit. So you hustle and you get into some good companies. 1 to 10, you demonstrate a method where it's no longer just hustle.
Scalable.
It's scalable, repeatable. What is the flywheel? And typically, that flywheel is based on sectoral expertise.
Franchise building.
Network building, franchise building, and stuff like that. How does that demonstrate itself? You start getting, maybe in the first phase, you get 1 or 2 markups. In the second phase, you start getting more and more markups within the same sector. So we spoke about internal flywheel and external flywheel. I think the internal flywheel becomes more complete and the external flywheel starts turning. You start getting recognized. Okay, you know, there are people where whether it was Vikram with FinTech, okay, he's become the FinTech guy, right? You were doing commerce. So we start getting recognized. That is very important when you come to the third phase. Because by the third phase, you are not picking founders. Founders are picking you. And that's a big shift. And that is not going to happen unless you yourself are able to transcend and get to the Infinity Flywheel journey. At the Infinity Flywheel, we have discussed this before, you have to be recognized by the founder. You have to have the pull where people want to come to work with you. You know, I'll just, on a lighter note, talk about some of the metrics that one could actually associate with each phase. So some markups in 0 to 1, consistent markups, maybe a unicorn or two in your sectors in the 1 to 10. I think the 10 to infinity is where it's IPOs, IPOs, IPOs. It's realized gains. Or maybe not IPOs, but exits, 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 right? Funnily enough, I started talking about a few years ago, maybe 2-3 years ago, that the aspiration is not a $1 billion company, which is a unicorn. Of course it is. But again, that's the 1 to 10 journey. The aspiration is a $1 billion profit per company. And fortunately, I think we have 4 to 5 in our portfolio heading in that direction. It's our peers also have some. I was reading about a firm that has probably 20 times our capital to manage, plays across all stages. And they have a total of 12 such companies over a 25-year history. So that to me, if you really want infinity, that's infinity. $1 billion profit over, 20 companies. That would be nice.
Amazing. Now I wanted to bring this together, like also share 1 or 2 case studies, because I think it's helpful, especially on the traits. I think most people, and I was also surprised to, connect the dots on this one, but OneCard and Ola Electric, both companies in our most recent, in Fund 3, both actually didn't launch their first product for 18 months or maybe even longer after they raised their first round of capital. And through that period, the clarity with
and
which
Jupiter,
the founders...
Jupiter also took.
Clarity with which the founders were building, forecasting where regulation was trending, where government policies were trending, figuring out what the right org would be to scale those companies once they hit market. I mean, all of those things, literally, I can't imagine, like, in the past, you know, folks would have been wondering, you know, hey, what is this company doing?
Yeah, by the way, we were wondering, and we learned how to work with them. And if you ask me, Anurag was here yesterday, Amit is here today, Revant was here last week, Chirag interacting on Saturday. We are learning from them all the time, Ashish, like, you know, Pati. So, one of the things we learned is that hustle is not the right metric at the infinity stage. Right. And remember, even in the US, there's this concept of hustle culture and this, that. It is the thoughtful hustle. You do need to hustle. Ultimately, you have to hustle. But it's a thoughtful, well-directed hustle. So definitely, definitely something that is different.
Yeah. You know, you talked about habits, maybe something for the entrepreneurs listening or, you know, others. How can one cultivate some of these things? Any learnings from your own personal journey?
Yeah. Well, it's not so much from my own personal journey. I think some of this is theory, which I believe and I try to practice. But I think the others do very well. There is this concept of neuroplasticity of the brain. You know what that is?
Yes, I've heard of it, but I don't want to venture a guess.
Neuroplasticity means you can change your brain the way you want. So what are the parts of the brain that often get talked about?
Lower brain?
No. That is separate. Left and right.
Left and
that's
right.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
We left it at that. For the last centuries, left brain, right brain. Actually, it is lower brain, middle brain, upper brain. Then this neuroplasticity, there is a single line that summarizes it. Neurons that fire together, wire together. So essentially, you create new pathways. So now if you look at Malcolm Gladwell's outliers, 10,000 hours, why are those 10,000 hours people successful? They have gone and connected certain dots or certain neurons in their brain where they become an expert in it. So I personally believe you have to treat your brain like a muscle. And you have to, and sadly for my children, this is what they hear almost on a every day or a second day basis, and actually stimulate it from all sides. There is no left or right brain. There are only three parts. Best judgment comes from the highest portion of it. And there are absolutely practices that you can follow that actually unlock it. So I think I will only encourage people that this is something that is very much acquired skill. And the traits that I have seen, and you should add to this, like for these infinity entrepreneurs, how do they actually exercise their brain? Voracious appetite for learning. Whether it is, I mean, with many of these, we'll get grilled when we meet them. And constantly learning and then following up saying, can you send me this, that? So voracious appetite for learning, unbelievable curiosity, serious personal growth mindset. I think if you have this, then you start practicing these things that you know, kind of put it all together and create these infinity entrepreneurs. I did want to go back to one of the things we didn't cover fully in the VC conversation is, you know, ultimately for an infinity VC, don't lose sight of the fact that you're still an investor. And an investor comes with an investor mindset. And how is an investor different from everybody else? Investor thinks a lot about unknowns. And what do I not know? And doesn't take things at face value and then tries to become an expert in the subject. And I really wanted to bring this out just because it was interesting that in the bull times, 2020, 2021, I read so many articles how Warren Buffett has lost his edge. Now, again, last 5 years, again, Berkshire returns are the best, right? He didn't get swayed by the FOMO, by the noise. So I think that clarity, and by the way, infinity entrepreneurs, infinity VC, both need this clarity, right? And I just, you know, just have patience, zero FOMO, clarity, become a domain expert. And I think some of these are similar. I just think what the founders do is much harder and inspiring.
Thanks, Avi. Enjoyed doing this with you.
Super. Thank you.